these words were thrown together when I still had my kept it in my back pocket with a change I had to spare. Swim through the skies when it's night, let the stars be my sea breeze. I love when the record echoes, reminds me of the trees. But I should not say this to you. No, you know how to live life. This compilation of sayings and tunes means everything to me now. Oh, I cut me open, but you did all the pouring out. I discovered more and more of this world that I've been calling mine. No, I don't care what it takes, blood, sweat, or all my time, because I shouldn't have said this to you. No, you know how to live life, and I shouldn't have sang all these tunes. No, you make me feel alive.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to 91.5 WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. This is JumboCast Radio coming at you live. We are JumboCast. JumboCast.
we're JumboCast.
Common mistake.
What were we listed as?
JuMobcast.
JuMobcast. We're not JuMobcast. We're JumboCast. All right. Tufts premier sports broadcasting club, and we are now taking our talents from the playing field to the WMFO studio. And this is JumboCast Radio, where we talk all things Tufts sports, all things NESCAG, all things Gritty the mascot. And
you see the Gritty meet up with the Philly Fanatic?
Oh no, that sounds electric
content. They hugged it out and then did a little gyrating.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, quality stuff.
I gotta check that out.
Gritty has actually been making the rounds, so to speak.
He's a celebrity.
He was on Jimmy Fallon. He's all over social media.
I'm pretty sure he's going to the White House next week to talk to Donald Trump about Philadelphia issues.
He's more than a mascot now. He's a political spokesperson.
Yeah. He is actually. Have you heard about this?
No.
Gritty has been adopted by the left. Like the sort of Antifa crowd has adopted Gritty as a mascot. It's sort of the co-opting that Pepe had, like
God.
The frog.
This is so weird.
But why?
Because life sucks, Brad. Because we can't have nice things like Gritty. Not that Gritty's nice. He's kind of terrifying, but he's now an icon not only of Philadelphia and the Philadelphia Flyers, but of the Antifa.
So that's lovely. Anyways, we are JumboCast. We talk about more than just Gritty, although it doesn't really seem like that lately. We started the show off with Modern Baseball with their song "Play Ball" off their album Sports. So keeping the sports themed songs going strong. But for the rest. For the most of the time here, we're just going to be talking. It's just going to be our lovely voices. So brief introductions. If you don't remember us from 2 weeks ago, my name is Owen Finnegan. I'm the business director of JumboCast. And I guess we'll just go from my right to left, introducing ourselves pretty briefly before we talk about what we have on the docket today. So, Ethan, you want to introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm Ethan Zaharoni. I am the technical director at JumboCast. And that's about it. I like basketball.
Cool.
I'm Charlie Driver. I'm going to just give myself the title of producer because I don't have an E-board producer position. Yeah. Executive producer of JumboCast Radio.
How about commentator extraordinaire?
I would also accept that.
Chess club president.
No. The chess club president will be joining us at a halfway point. That's when Trevor's available.
Chess club co-president. Forgot you weren't part of that dynamic duo of Trevor Russo and Lucas Pons.
No, I was not good enough. I didn't get in.
Right. Hi, I'm Brad Schussel. I'm the programming director of JumboCast. This is my fourth year here, so long-time member. And
long-time listener, first-time caller.
Yeah, long-time first-time.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk some tough sports.
Yeah. what if we do have callers during this hour? Or how can one become a caller?
If you are listening right now, I'm checking the radio right now, and we have 2.5 million listeners. So if any of you want to call in, the number is 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. So give us a ring. We'll put you on. Give us your hot takes. Or your cold takes, any takes, just give it to us.
If you want to talk to pro sports, tough sports, gritty. Whatever you want to do, just gritty. We're down to talk gritty.
Yeah, we're also willing to talk about our feelings as well with you.
Right, we're more than just sports.
Yeah,
sports
transcends, and so does JumboCast.
So before we get into the strictly talking sports, I'd like to hit on some of our segments. So the first segment today is going to be, what did we mess up this week? So this is my favorite segment. It's just, what did JumboCast as a student organization mess up this week?
Oh, man.
Beyond just broadcast. Just
I wasn't prepared for this.
Extending to anything. So my vote for what did we mess up this week was us not filling out the form that identifies us as a club. So I think we're just sort of like a rebel pirate club right now. Siphoning Tufts funds, and we didn't fill out that form, so we're going to be in big trouble.
For those of you who may not know how Tufts clubs work, most of the student organizations on campus get their funding from TCU, the student government, and we were supposed to fill out some sort of form to make sure that our budget was active and not frozen, and it is currently frozen.
And we sure did not do that.
And that's not going to stop our broadcast or anything, but it was a little bit of a whoopsie.
So that's my favorite segment. What did we mess up this week?
Yeah, stay tuned. Stay tuned through the semester for more JumboCast mess ups.
Next segment is comment of the week, but I don't think we're gonna have any this week. Right?
We have some. There were some inspirational comments during the homecoming football game.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That was 2 weeks ago.
I forgot we're doing 2 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. It's comment of the 2 weeks.
Yes. I wasn't doing the homecoming game.
No,
so.
It was. There was a little sort of debate, a lot of heavy discourse in the YouTube comment section about my commentating abilities. And fair play to my critics, I was sort of rusty in the first quarter before I rebounded. But one lucky commenter was criticizing me, and then my super fan Tanya in the comment section came through and gave out an impassioned plea for a nice discourse, saying something along the lines of, let's just keep it fun here. Ethan, are you trying to find this exact comment?
I'm trying to find the exact comment where it says you must be his brother. because I think that is great.
I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure our friend from across the pond, Lucas Pyle, jumped in. Lucas Johnson jumped in.
He's across the pond. He's in France. I don't know if there's a term for that.
Across the lake. Slightly bigger than a pond.
Across the lake. to use my French knowledge cultivated through many
years of studying
empty weeks abroad.
So I guess that would be comment of the week. If we can get the specific one, that'd be great.
I will find it.
Okay.
Marking on that as
I'm
well.
I'm going to push this mic over to your mouth.
So any and all comments are appreciated. Some maybe more than others. So Tanya, if you're out there, if you're listening, thank you for the support. So yes, moving on to probably what you all tuned in for, and that is just talking tough sports.
I think most of them tuned in for music and then just got blindsided by a sports show. But we're going to talk about tough sports anyway, and there will be at least one more song later in the hour, so please tune in. Stay tuned for that. We're going to talk about tough sports. What tough sport should we talk about today?
Oh, I wish we had a wheel that we could spin, and that would be the one that we would talk about.
Well, there's only so many that are
we do. Brad, do you want to spin the wheel right now that we have in studio?
Do I need to make a sound effect?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, look at that wheel go.
And it landed on field hockey. So let's have a
field hockey.
They just scored 8, I believe.
Really?
If I read the headline.
Ooh, 8-0. Correct. 8-0 over Wellesley at home. Big win.
Wellesley's a pretty good team, if I'm not mistaken, too. Field hockey is one of those sports I feel like sort of slips under the radar for how good Tufts has been both this year and historically.
Well, it's just the traditional field hockey bias in that it's not one of the big televised sports. So
that's true.
It falls under the umbrella of what I call the Olympic sports, which are the sports that I watch all of during the Olympics, but then I never watch at any other point because they're never televised.
Yes. We had, and her name is escaping me. If anybody can remind me, someone came and talked to our club about just the Tufts field hockey team. I think it was one of the captains for the team.
The goalkeeper.
It was the goalkeeper.
Yes, that was Emily Polinsky, senior goalkeeper number 40 for the Jumbos.
Thank you. Yeah, Emily Polinsky basically was giving us the lowdown on A, just field hockey as a whole, and B, Tufts field hockey. And we were ranked 3rd in the country. Charlie shaking his head like
No, I was just listening, but I was about to give the NESCAC standings.
Oh, yes.
I have the national rankings.
No, hit me with the NESCAC standings. I'll pull up the national
NESCAC
rankings.
Well, the NESCAC standings, Tufts actually sits in 2nd. The total record of 9-1, that only loss came in conference at Middlebury. Middlebury, coincidentally, or not at all coincidentally, I should say, sits atop the NESCAC with an overall record of 11-0, the Panthers.
Oh, wow.
Right up there. Then you have Hamilton in 3rd at 10-2. Not traditionally what you expect to see with any Hamilton sports.
No,
teams.
Absolutely not.
But good for them. So Tufts in 2nd. That's going to get him into the tournament because most everyone plays in the tournament. And that definitely has them in with a shot of winning, and definitely home field if they can hold off Hamilton down the season. There are a few games left, 5 of them, most of them in conference. Home games against Haverford and Williams, Haverford making the long trip up, and then away games at Concall, Trinity, and Bowdoin.
So it looks like 4 more in NESCAC.
Yeah, and they're coming in with a conference record of 5-1.
5-1.
Obviously, and the hard part of that schedule is over. They beat Hamilton 2-1 on the 30th. That was last Sunday. So that's sort of a big result for the team.
That was homecoming, correct? Those two games, Amherst.
Yeah, that was homecoming weekend.
So that was a 3-2 win over Amherst on Saturday and 2-1 over Hamilton.
Mm-hmm. So it looks like they're in a pretty good position overall. Do you have the national rankings?
I do have the national rankings. They are in a good position overall, both in the NESCAC, but also in the national rankings as well. Brad, I don't know if you know this, but a lot of New Jersey schools are represented in the field hockey national rankings.
Like?
So, like TCNJ coming in at 4.
Oh, very interesting.
Number 3 is Tufts, so nothing has changed since the preseason rankings. Number 2, Messiah, and I figured we'd play a fun little game. Maybe we can make this a new segment called Where is That D3 School? So does anybody want to guess where Messiah College is located?
Midwest, for sure.
Charlie's saying Midwest. Brad, do you have a guess?
State or just...
Just state.
I think it's... I'm going to say Minnesota.
Minnesota, okay.
Interesting. Messiah. I'll go Missouri. I don't know why I'm feeling
about Missouri.
I want to go Kentucky.
All right, interesting. So we got Charlie in Minnesota. We got Brad in Missouri, and we've got Ethan in Kentucky. And I don't know which one of those is geographically the closest to Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania.
Kentucky.
I think it is Kentucky, so yeah. Ethan will win
Definitely.
That round.
I should know that. I'm from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, you are. And Ethan, a Pennsylvania native. Have you never heard of the school?
I have, but... My knowledge of...
I think they're not that bad at basketball. I think they've faced Tufts in the Final 4 of women's basketball before.
Oh, no kidding.
Let's play another exciting corollary game before we get back to field hockey, which is name a Division 2 school. Because it's very difficult.
I believe Johns Hopkins is Division 2 in a lot of sports. I know that they are D1 in lacrosse, because Johns Hopkins, as you might know, is a very good lacrosse program.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they're D2.
I have a list of Division 2 football programs.
Okay, I think I know a D2 school. I don't know if it has a football team, though.
Okay.
Rhodes College in Tennessee.
that does not have a football program, according to Wikipedia.
Indiana University of Pennsylvania.
What's it called?
The Indiana University of Pennsylvania.
Yes, that he is a winner.
Let's go.
The Indiana University of Pennsylvania Crimson Hawks play at Frank Signetti Field at George P. Miller Stadium. Seats 6,000.
I believe also Emory University. I don't know if they have football, though.
Is Emory D2? No kidding. Is Rice D2? Does anybody know?
No, I think Rice is D1.
Rice is D1? Are you kidding me?
That's a Texas school.
You also would have
Texas
won...
Texas football, you kidding?
Oh, yeah, that's true, that's true.
You would have won that game if you had given me the Edinburgh University of Pennsylvania Fighting Scots, the Colorado State University Pueblo Thunderwolves.
The Pueblo Thunderwolves.
The University of Central Oklahoma Bronchos.
Bronchos? What is a broncho?
I don't know. The University of Arkansas at Monticello Boll Weevils.
Oh my God.
The Arkansas Tech University Wonder Boys.
You could be making this up and I would have
These
no
mascots
idea.
Are fantastic.
We have
Rhodes College is D3, by the way.
Oh, there you go. The South Dakota School of Mines and Technology Hard Rockers.
Oh, I can't believe I didn't. My second choice as a Tufts was the South Dakota School of Mines.
In case you haven't gathered yet, there are much fewer D2 athletic schools than
also,
D3.
It's also the D3 thing
is
about
much,
to say the least.
Much
the thing
larger
about D2 is it's largely state schools that are too small to sort of support a D1 school, but also not sort of academically focused enough in a way, or too big to be D3. So it's just sort of an interesting
middle ground
yeah. there.
By the way, back to field hockey, because I didn't think we got to this. Middlebury, in fact, number one in the nation. So Bowdoin, number 9. Babson, another local school, number 11. Babson, of course, is where Wayne Finnegan, my father, graduated from. So, you know, just an interesting little tidbit there. So 3 NESCAC schools in the top 10, not bad.
I just want to jump back to mascots for a sec. I'm sorry that this show is quickly becoming
Charlie
the center
talk
of
about
mascots
all day.
I'm now on the list of Division 3 football programs.
Oh, sure.
And there is the Heidelberg Student Princes. that's one. They're from Pennsylvania.
Sorry. Pennsylvania. They're from
hey, excuse me. They're from Ohio, but from Pennsylvania, you have the Geneva Golden Tornadoes.
I actually kind of like
that's
pretty
cool.
Yeah, that's pretty great. I kind of like that.
I didn't actually know that the Colby is officially the White Mules. They're not
really?
The Mules. Yeah.
Oh.
The Moscow Mules.
Yeah.
Alternate name.
Yeah. That's a little.
not that.
Wait, is that a new thing or has that always been the case? I did not know that.
I don't know.
I've always called them the Mules.
I've always called them the Mules, yeah.
On our YouTube page, if you look at the titles,
it's called
Mules.
I think they generally go by the Mules. I'm on the Wikipedia page for a list of NCAA Division III football programs.
If you go to YouTube and check out our channel, look at one of our streams, and it'll say Tufts Jumbos versus Colby
Charlie,
Mules. I don't know where.
So much
look at the homepage for Colby.
Without football programs.
What?
This is the Colby homepage, shows a metropolitan city, even though Colby is in Maine?
Yes, it is in Maine.
Okay.
Well done.
One week we'll play Where's That NESCAC School?
Yeah, and
see how
and
much
I will
we
get none of them
correct. All right, another exciting quiz. What is the Colby College motto?
Oh my God.
No idea.
Just, no, give it.
Northward,
gotta,
something with north?
No, you just got to guess.
Dare North.
Dare North. All right, Ethan, what's the Colby College motto?
Let's see.
I don't believe you that it's the White Mules.
I have no idea.
No, you just make something up.
We'll carry the load.
It's a mule. You're right. Okay. That's a good one.
All right, Brad.
Excelsior.
No. It's Lux Mentis Scientia, which is translated as knowledge, the light of the mind.
Yeah.
But also bracketed is. So it's knowledge is the light of the mind.
Yeah,
it
is implied there.
In
terms of language.
You were the closest, but I think Ethan had the best one.
Montclair State, that's another New Jersey school.
Oh, yeah. No, I've been to Montclair State. Montclair, New Jersey is where Yogi Berra was from. They have a Yogi Berra museum there.
Really?
I have the same birthday as Yogi Berra.
Interesting.
May 12th.
I have the same birthday as Frank Sinatra. December 12th.
Yeah.
Rowan University? That's in New Jersey. It's in Glassboro, New Jersey.
Don't know where that is.
has a satellite campus in Camden, New Jersey. Anyways, bottom line is New Jersey. Some in the water in New Jersey is making these people good at field hockey. I wonder how deep these rankings go. Oh, they go down to Amherst in 19, Trinity in 15, Williams at 16, Hamilton at 14. So that's what, 7 NESCAC schools in the top 20?
I mean, that's a traditional thing for any sport.
Yeah, that's my understanding as well.
Is sort of the fact that the NESCAC is the best.
Are we covering field hockey?
No.
Are we doing playoffs?
We may be doing playoffs.
Unlikely during the regular season just because of some complications with the athletics department. But, we'd be definitely like to get on some field hockey games. We're planning to cover them. So look out for that during the NESCAC tournament and hopefully the D3 NCAA tournament.
I'm going to say a Tufts Middlebury NESCAC final that we covered
that would be fantastic,
pretty
right?
Awesome.
You're absolutely right.
Just saying.
I could break out my Middlebury email for the occasion.
You have a Middlebury email?
Yeah, at this rate, though, I believe if it got down to that, Middlebury would be hosting because they have a slightly better record than us.
I was just thinking that.
And they're number one in the nation, so.
Yeah. You know.
All right, so shall we move on to another sport?
Let's jump across the field complex to soccer.
Men's soccer at Bellows Field, having...
Yeah,
probably the best start that they've had in my time here. And this is a team that won the NCAA tournament 2 years ago now, and then also 2 years before. But they're actually, so they're undefeated so far. They're 10-0-1. They just dropped points versus Hamilton at home on Sunday.
Really?
On Saturday, they dropped points
at Middlebury.
In Vermont at Middlebury.
Oh, Lucas Pyle was at that game.
Yeah, they gave up a penalty early there, fought back to tie it, but just couldn't break through. That went through overtime with no further score and ended 1-1. And that actually dropped them below Middlebury in the national rankings to number 5. Not below Middlebury, below Connecticut College, the surprise team of perhaps all time. we were talking about this earlier. Connecticut
Camels.
College Camels, traditional sports powerhouse, is not a statement that I don't think anyone has said
at any point in time,
unironically. But they're having a very good season, and this Saturday. In New London, Tufts is actually going to play the Camels, which is exciting. I'm trying to find the standings. But
the NESCAC standings or the national standings?
The NESCAC standings. But it's generally been... Soccer has had trouble because they've always been so dominant playing in the regular season. You have a situation where you have this team that is expected to just roll you over, so you park the bus, you sit all of your team back in defense, and often that leads to trouble breaking down. If the opponent scores a goal on the counterattack, often the Jumbo still can't score and lose 1-0. I've seen countless 1-0 defeats of the Tufts men's soccer team during my time here, just because of that powerhouse status they have, and they've been defying that this season, sort of scoring and finishing with a precision that they haven't really had before. And I have the standings now. It's Concall and Tufts tied at 10-0-1, and Tufts is in second in the NESCAC just by virtue of having played one fewer conference game.
Do you have the D3 rankings as well?
I do not have the D3 rankings.
Okay. We can get that up. Yeah, you can tell that Tufts has been dominant on defense for sure, just by looking at the schedule. Haven't let up more than a goal in a single game. I believe 5 goals all season. You can credit that to their defense in total, as well as Connor Meath, the goalkeeper. I was just looking at the roster, by the way. And we were just talking about Montclair, New Jersey. Connor Meath grew up in Montclair, New Jersey. Went to Seton Hall Prep.
Well, look at that.
Illuminati confirmed.
I have the D3 soccer rankings. So Conn College is in 4th nationally, and Tufts is in 5th.
Oh.
So only one spot back.
Tufts is 5th, really.
Yeah, they had been in 3rd, yes. And then they dropped down as a result of that draw to Middlebury.
Mm. Who are the top 3?
Chicago is at number 1.
Yeah, the Maroons.
11-0-1.
Wait, like, just Chicago?
Chicago.
Okay.
They've been traditionally good. They've reached the Final Four a few times.
Messiah with a 10-0-2 record.
Yeah, they're in the D3 rankings.
I wonder where they're from.
And then Calvin at 3, even though they have a loss, so a 9-1 record.
Calvin, did we play them in something 2 years ago?
Calvin always reaches the... It's a fairly static power rankings in NCAA Division III men's soccer. So I think we've definitely, I think we beat Calvin in the Elite Eight
last year. Yeah, I've heard Calvin before.
And that's why they keep coming up.
That's interesting that they have a loss in their head of us in the race. I was just going to say, maybe there's some NESCAC bias there. I mean, I don't think that that would happen in those rankings, considering the success that Tufts has had, that Amherst has had in soccer.
An interesting thing with this Jumbos team is that they lack a traditional sort of leading goal scorer like they've had in the past with Nathan Majumder back in the day, and then blanking on the other major striker's name. But the lead scorer on this team is three. That's Max Jacobs, the midfielder, Joe Braun, the forward, and Gavin Tasker, the forward, all level on that with a few other people in two. So they've scored 20 goals this season over the course of 11 games now, just sort of sharing the load very evenly, which is not a conventional thing, but that sort of points to why they've been so successful, is your ability to score even though or sort of have a lot of dangerous points, including your fullbacks, whether it be with two goals, and also then you have another back with goals scored in William Raphael, who has two. So they're sort of dangerous on all points of the field, which definitely helps an attack in a way that it's not really working around one focal point in the same way. Though Braun plays in a hold-up role. That's part of the reason he has three assists on the season.
Yeah, they really spread the scoring around when you look at the stat sheet here. The assists as well. You know, a lot of their midfielders, even some of their forwards, are just really excelling this year at setting up their teammates. So, I mean, you don't get to 10-0 and 1 by not passing
the
ball.
They rebounded against Middlebury, beating Babson 3-1 on Tuesday. Babson, by the way, have a very nice bus. They have like their own one. Like they own a nice
bus. Babson does?
Yeah, Babson owns like
Beaver
a coach bus.
The Beaver
bus.
It's
legit.
Oh yeah.
Is that for all sports or just the soccer?
I think it is.
I think it's
like,
all sports.
But you never see people at this level owning buses.
No, it's crazy. My friend plays on the baseball team there, and he's passionate about the Beaver bus. Apparently, it's a big investment. I think they have two of them.
It's got like, it's painted.
Yeah, it's
like,
awesome.
Yeah,
really
cool. I think it's pretty cool.
Every time I like, so
yeah, we have a truck, by the way.
Yeah, we do have a truck.
We have a JumboCast truck. It's not quite as nice as the Beaver bus, I'm sure, but
the only student organization with a truck.
Yeah. Well, no, TMC. Well, I guess they have fans. That's true. We're the only ones with a truck. But I walk by whenever I like walk by the gym, and there's a bus parked for like one of the schools. I always have a moment where I think to myself, like, what if I just got in like the cargo hold?
Just took like the 8-hour
like,
ride
I have
back
no
to where
idea
I really
what
came
team
from.
It is. What if I just went with it and, you know, sort of abandoned all my worldly life. And started anew up in I guess Colby.
Up in Maine.
But then I never do.
Brief
I'd imagine you'd never gotten it in the back of a team bus.
Oh, you don't know that. You don't make these assumptions, man.
Dangerous assumption.
Yeah.
We'll transition to women's soccer here, I guess. But women's soccer, impressive season, as always, but a little overshadowed by some far more impressive seasons from three teams in the NESCAC. So Middlebury undefeated 5-0-1, Williams undefeated 5-0-1, and then Amherst almost undefeated 5-1-1, which was tough despite their 3-1-2.
Those are conference records?
These are conference records, yeah. So despite their 3-1-2 record, Tufts is fourth in the NESCAC and not in the national rankings in the top 25 national rankings. Just a little look at the national rankings. Washington, Missouri is number one. Don't know what that school is. Number two is Messiah.
Washington, Missouri?
Washington, Missouri.
That'd be WashU.
Oh, okay, that's WashU. Never mind. I actually applied to that school. So I do know that school. Number two is Messiah. Number three is the first NESCAC team, Williams, four John Hopkins. And then rounding out the top five is Middlebury. So two teams in the top five.
Messiah is killing
Messiah,
the grass sports.
Jeez
right now.
Louise. Ooh. TCNJ coming in at number six, Brad. That one's for you. Really, I just want to echo how similar this women's team is to the men's team. They took until the 22nd of September against Brandeis, one of the top teams in D3 historically, to even concede a goal. which was their first loss, 2-1, and they lost to Amherst, which was a tough loss, 3-0.
I believe they've allowed even less goals than the men's team so far.
Yeah, they've only allowed
the same amount of games.
They've allowed six all year, and half of those came against Amherst, which they've allowed, as we saw, is one of the top teams in the country.
Six goals? Are you sure?
Yeah, six.
No. Three to Amherst.
Oh, right. I was looking at the wrong side.
Yeah.
And this is a team that's sort of having a breakout period over the last few years. They've been pretty consistently middle of the pack, around 500 record, going back all the way to 2011, mm-hmm. When they started to decline after some strong teams. But in 2015, 6-8-2, 2016, 7-6-3, and last season it was improvement at 10-6-3. But now they're on pace to well exceed that, currently sitting at 7-2-2. So it's the best season that Martha Whiting has had in quite a while with her team. And part of that, you have to give credit to Emily Bowers, their goalkeeper. She just yep. won NESCAC Player of the Week for soccer, the senior. I took an intro to religion class with her back in the day. but she's been playing very well, keeping the net.
And Sophie Lloyd, the sophomore, leads the team with 8 goals. And then beneath that is Liz Reed, another sophomore, with 5 goals. So some young players leading the team in goals there. But I really think with this team, it's all about the defense, honestly. Obviously, we talked about the number of goals conceded. They have the name is escaping me. Who's that defensive player who's in my grade who's really good? Sarah Maloney. That's who I'm talking about. So yeah, good team. It'll be interesting to see how that really competitive top of the NESCAC in women's soccer shakes out for the rest of the season, in my opinion.
Well, nice analysis, Owen.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say this. Have we covered a women's soccer game?
No, yet? We haven't. Okay. We haven't done any soccer this season.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we'd like to.
Yeah. So the analysis is not going to be too robust because haven't been broadcasting them. But
well, the only two sports left to do on this fine show are sports that we do cover.
We
cover, I believe, all the fall sports.
I'm going to go get Trevor
in general.
Yeah, we're actually going to take a break here, I think. So if you want to just put on a song,
oh,
or
sure.
something, we'll do a song and a PSA, and then we'll be right back and reload to talk some more sports. And I think we're going to be talking football, anything else?
And volleyball.
Football and volleyball.
So. Alrighty, so give me 1 second to load a song up. I had one in mind, but I totally forgot.
Yeah, we're trying to stick to sports-themed
yes.
music.
Yes, okay, there we go. It's going to be American Football is the band, so that'll okay. That'll be sticking with the sports theme. Alrighty, we'll be back in a second.
Stick with us.
Thank you. Thinking of taking up a new sport? It's a step in the right direction. But before you hit the playing field, be sure to exercise a little common sense. Take bullfighting, for instance. One misstep there, and chances are, it might just leave a mark. Fortunately, for the less dramatic sports, there are plenty of things you can do to lessen your chance of being injured. For instance, don't be just a weekend warrior. In addition to playing your sport, make sure you include a simple exercise program during the rest of the week. Stretching for flexibility, resistance training for strength, and cardio sessions for endurance. For more specific tips on preventing sports injuries, visit AAOS.org. That's AAOS.org. A public service message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, who remind you to get up, get out, and get moving. Or for you matadors out there, keep your eye.
I feel like that PSA ended a little bit too early. But anyways, we are back. This is JomoCast Radio. Thank you all for tuning in. You just heard American Football with their song Never Meant. Of course, we're keeping with the sports-related music somehow type theme thing, and then a quick PSA. So I'd like to welcome a valued member of JomoCast, Trevor Russo, to the studio, and he's going to introduce himself, and then we're going to talk a little football, a little foosball.
Ooh, okay. Trevor Russo, social media director and volleyball director / football commentator, and member of the chess team, of
course. Yeah.
So
we were talking earlier about how I tried out for the chess team and wasn't good enough.
Really? How'd that go?
Well, I was bad.
All right, that's
I castled too early.
that's a rookie move, Charlie. Come on.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you knew the term, so you can make the B
team.
Yeah,
I feel like just knowing the term castle.
No. You need to know the defenses. You know the chess moves that are named after people.
You guys know who Bobby Fischer is?
Yeah. He's like the most famous.
Searching for Bobby Fischer.
He's like the most famous board game player ever.
Join us next week when we listen to the entire cast album of the musical Chess.
Anyways, Trevor. This will be Trevor and Brad's segment for the most part.
Yep.
Maybe Ethan and Charlie and I can tune it and chime in. But tell us a little bit about Tufts foosball.
Oh, well, I mean...
Talking to the mic, Trevor.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Well, I mean, I had a busy weekend last weekend, so I didn't get a chance to watch the football game. But
I don't even know who we played.
Is undefeated.
We played against last week. So we'll start with last weekend. We are 4-0 in mm-hmm. football, so we've had a very good season so far. Last week we went to Bowdoin to play the lowly Bowdoin Polar Bears. I'm sorry to any Bowdoin fans out there. They're 0-4. We clobbered them 28-0.
You're going to crush our Bowdoin sports base here.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to watch that game either. It's actually tough, I think, for away games for us. We cover the home games here, and we don't like to watch the other broadcasts because we think we're superior. I'm just kidding. But yeah, I mean, Tufts scored just by looking at the box score. You can see just how incredibly dominant they were.
Yeah, they won 28-0. It's the first shutout win by Tufts since 2006. Although there should be an asterisk sort of placed on the Bowdoin performance there because they got shut out without NESCAC leading rusher Nate Richem, who was out with, I think, an ankle injury. But he had just the week or 2 weeks before picked up 288 yards in the ground in one game. So sort of their biggest offensive weapon and one of the biggest offensive weapons in the NESCAC was out of this game for the Polar Bears. But still, a shutout victory for the Jumbos and a continuation of their top-ranked NESCAC defense, now allowing 7.3 points per game.
We can get that. For you, but
I don't know. Yeah,
that sounds like a good number to me. That's slightly more than a
something like that. Touchdown. That's 7.2 points more than I average in each basketball game I play. So.
But yeah, no, that Jumbo defense has been phenomenal the entire
year.
And whether the offense is stalled like we saw in the Middlebury game, or it's exploded like the Hamilton game, the Tufts defense has just been outstanding this year. I mean, 7.3 points per game. Greg Holt, 7 tackles per game. He had 6 in this one. The rushing attack, when it doesn't seem to thrive on McDonald draw plays, it it worked really well. We had Dom Borelli 7 for 73. He usually doesn't, you know, average 10.4 yards per carry. It's more like 3.5. So he really outperformed. Mike Pedrini, 2 touchdowns on the ground, you know, getting that goal line attack working. It's so when McDonald really doesn't have to run, you can really get that read option going and just the basic run plays and even open up the passing game. We had a good passing game for McDonald, 19 for 25, 231 yards, 2 touchdowns, and, you know, 1 interception, but 231 yards through the air is phenomenal, especially from a guy who usually, you know, relies on his legs.
Yeah, and he also only played until midway through the third quarter. And in the first quarter, he didn't play very well. He threw a pick, and actually I think he lost a fumble in that first quarter. And so really he did that in 2 quarters of work, which is not something we've seen from him in that way earlier in the season.
Right. So Ryan McDonald, if you guys don't know, he's a senior co-captain starting quarterback for the Tufts Jumbos. He's an excellent rusher. He had a great game through the air this weekend. And Tufts had a really balanced running attack all around. I mean, you saw McDonald get out and run 8 times. And you also saw Dom Borelli, Mike Pedrini, Andrew Sanders all just like really getting out on the ground. And I talked to Jay Civetti a couple of weeks ago, and I asked him, after a performance, I believe in week 2, where, you know, you saw some great performance from a few of his running backs. I asked him, how do you envision this backfield shaping up going forward? Is someone going to, you know, emerge as the lead back, or is this going to be a running back by committee? He said 100%, until he is no longer the head coach of Tufts football, there's going to be a running back by committee, and it's working absolutely phenomenally so far to start this season.
That's my fantasy team.
It's until Saquon Barkley transfers in and uses his last year of eligibility.
Please, don't think that's happening anymore.
I still have visions from last night as an Eagles fan. Oh my goodness.
The Eagles are not good.
Trevor, I just have to say, the Eagles' offensive line is one of the worst that I've seen in a long
best,
time.
This you was know the they best pass-blocking line last year, and you know they have just cratered.
They looked great next to the Giants' offensive line last night, so I didn't even
notice.
No,
but it's just like in that first drive of that game, if for those who didn't watch, basically the Giants were getting pressure on Carson Wentz, and actually, you know, touching Carson Wentz at points during pass plays, and that has never happened before in this Giants season, because that is not a good defensive line.
So, you know what it is? I mean, it's
Olivier Burnham
35-year-old Chasen Peters tore his biceps, so all of a sudden you have a guy who hasn't really been playing up to his standards this season, and then now, you know, you have Olivier Vernon, who is, you know, your only good D-line weapon besides snacks. And yeah, no, that was ugly, but pass blocking has not been good all year. Just glad to see Carson, you know, doing well. But
if you may indulge me, I was interested because we've been sort of giving the national angle on a lot of all the sports we've been talking about today. And so I looked up the D3 national football rankings. No NESCAC teams to be found, perhaps unsurprisingly, in the top 25. And I was wondering how they even calculated D3 football rankings. So I looked up the number one school, which is Mountain Union School in Ohio. And their record is 5-0, and they have beaten the teams 54-0, 56-21, 23-10, 56-14, and 63-7. So that's probably why they're number one in the country.
Yeah, the NESCAC teams only play each other, so I don't see...
Is that not the case with all D3 schools? I honestly don't know how it works.
I can't imagine that they travel far.
No, yeah. I think everything's rooted in conference play, and I doubt there are that many unaffiliated conferences, just because there aren't as many football programs as other sports, because it's football.
This Mountain Union has played one non-conference game, and it's their only non-conference game all season.
Against whom?
Against Rose Holman, which is a school in Indiana.
The Fightin' Holmans.
Fightin' Roses.
No, roses are nice. They don't fight.
Right, so getting back to NESCAC football.
Yes,
yes. The Jumbos have had a great season. Trevor, you talked about their defense. It's obviously been phenomenal. They shut out the Potent Polar Bears last week. Didn't let up any points. So I mean,
this is the second game where they've allowed basically zero offensive points from the other team, which, you know, in any sport in general is just incredible. And these numbers have just really popped off the page. They only had one sack, but you have guys getting consistently 6-4 tackles. Greg Holt, of course, is, you know, continuing his incredible play. this season, all NESCAC last year, probably going to be all NESCAC this year. He has a tackle for loss. You have four tackles for loss, but really you're just not getting much production out of Bowden. Their leading rusher had 34 yards on the day, only averaged, 3.1 yards per carry. Their quarterback threw 47 times for, 162 yards, which, it's less than 4 yards per attempt, I think.
47 times?
Yeah, 47 times, God. And I think 162 yards.
They were playing a bit of catching.
Yeah.
So he threw 47 times?
Yes.
Okay, because it says that the team threw for 49 times.
Oh, okay. you had Griff Stalkup come in 1 for 2. I'm not Griff. Familiar with
he's
Griff.
He's their kicker.
Oh.
Is he really?
I believe he is there. I'm pretty sure he's. He could be a backup quarterback, but it might
Did
be just
miss
some
out
fake
on a
punt plays.
Maybe, oh maybe be the punter.
The
maybe
loves,
be the punter.
Well, I mean, they're usually the same person,
right?
With the exception of Tufts.
Yeah.
Let's.
So who does Tufts play next, though?
Trinity.
The Bantams.
So that if you're not familiar with NESCAC football, that is a huge game. Trinity is a dominant football school, and Tufts is dominant right now. So that's a huge matchup. Trinity actually 3-1, surprisingly.
Yeah.
Oh, in this game, it's kind of a rare occurrence for them. So Tufts has the better record. They're top of NESCAC.
They lost 21-16 to Williams. That was our homecoming weekend here. That's a big upset that indicates Williams is a big team as well, and we'll be seeing them actually a week tomorrow here on the Hill, and we'll have that game for you. So that's definitely something to watch. Their running back, the Williams running back TJ Dozier, actually just won NESCAC Offensive Player of the Week, gaining 151 yards and 2 touchdowns, leading the conference now with 493 yards on the ground, partially because Richmond was out of that last Bowden game against Tufts.
Alrighty. So keep an eye out for Tufts. We'll be broadcasting all the Holmes games. Keep an eye out for that Trinity game. That's a big game.
Yeah, that's huge. I'm definitely going to be watching that tomorrow.
Oh. Game we lost by one touchdown last year. So
yeah, Trinity's the big test. If the Jumbos can beat the defending champions, they got a shot at the title.
So now we're going to pass it off to Ethan Zaharoni to tell us a little bit about volleyball last weekend and his experience directing that. And so Ethan, take it away.
So I didn't direct, but I was at the game.
He was at the game. He didn't direct.
It was a pretty devastating experience for me and for all those involved.
I was directing. I can second that.
Yes,
yeah,
rooting for the Jumbos on that one. So we were up 2-0 against. Okay. sorry, just a mic change there. So we were up 2-0. Against Amherst, and we ended up losing the game. It was pretty bad, and we were up, I believe. I don't remember.
Trevor, you have this, right? Or you?
Yeah, I got it up. Okay. So Tufts. Tufts. I think they were tied at 18-18 in the third set, so they needed 7 more points, win by 2 to win that set and send themselves and the Jumbo Casters back to a fun Friday night. But Amherst went on a run. They end up winning that set 25-20. Amherst gets Tufts in a tie the next set. Tufts loses that set 27-25. And by that point, the momentum has completely swung in the direction of the Mammoths. So, and then they lose the fifth set, which is shortened 16-14. So, pretty big collapse from the Jumbos there. Ethan, you were broadcasting that game.
It was a valiant effort in the fifth set. We were down 14-11. We did come back to tie it at 14, but from then on, we couldn't close the deal.
Do you remember any big issues from that that really led to, or was it just kind of just points weren't falling their way? Or
I'm particularly remembering service errors, though that might just be my imagination. I do remember that Tufts had quite a few service errors, unforced errors that cost us some points. And also, I believe it was either the third or fourth set, we heavily rotated our side. So we took out some of our starters, most notably Bridget Bell did not play a lot. If at all in the fourth set, which I found really surprising, since she is our you know, one of our best players, kills leader, you know, and we took her out, and then we couldn't get back into the fifth set because the momentum had swung. So those definitely stuck out to me.
Yeah, and then Jumbos did rebound. They defeated I think it was Trinity actually on Saturday. They won that pretty handily, pretty swift game from the Jumbos, just quick 3-0. But yeah, this is a Jumbos team that I believe has kind of underperformed, if I'm correct, relative to what they did last season. You know, I think they had a pretty decent record going in last season, and now they're sort of running around 500 here. Probably not going to be close to the NESCAC championship in any sort, especially with Amherst at 12-2. I think 12-2, 13-2 right now. So
taking a look at the season in total, Tufts Volleyball is 11-7 on the year. In conference play, they're 5-2. I'm not sure where that puts them in the NESCAC. Maybe someone can look that up.
You are third.
Third, right?
Correct. But
an important thing there about them being third, they're tied for third right now with the two other teams, Amherst and Middlebury. And their next game and their only game this week is actually against the Panthers. That is tonight up in Vermont. And so that's a major matchup there. If the Jumbos can knock off Middlebury, that'll go a long way to sort of putting them in a pole position to take home court advantage going into the first round of the NESCAC tournament, which is always a nice thing to have. So we'll have to see how that pans out at 7 p.m. tonight.
Yeah,
Middlebury's a good team, too. I don't know, especially with the way the way the Jumbos have performed at home is very unbecoming of how they've performed at home traditionally. And it'll be interesting to see how that transfers up in Vermont, up in Middlebury. So definitely a game to keep an eye out for.
Yeah, home 3-3, so a 500 record at home.
Shocking.
That is pretty shocking to be like that. It's almost, you know, you don't really, you never really want that to happen. You want your home court to be, you know, your court.
Yeah, so. I threw the statistic out during our last show 2 weeks ago, and I'll just reiterate it, but we hadn't lost a home NESCAC game in, I think it was 6 years was the last time we lost to a NESCAC opponent in Cousins, and we've lost to two this season. And I had mentioned in that last episode, or episode, are we calling these episodes? I don't even know.
We can call them episodes. We can call them shows.
In that last show, I mentioned how important this Amherst game was, and like Ethan said, just a total back-breaking loss. So it'll be interesting to see how this season shakes out for sure. I don't know. I think there was a part of me that was overreacting to two NESCAC losses, because like Charlie kind of just put this in perspective when he said like we could still secure home court for the first round of the NESCAC
playoffs.
You're
probably not going to catch the leaders,
right?
But the key here is just getting as high as you possibly can over the last few games of the regular season.
Yeah, and I don't know if D3 will be in our future with two conference losses. I know we had a D3 bid last season. They went to Appleton, Wisconsin.
Especially with overall record of 11-7.
Yeah, probably
not shining.
Yeah.
I don't think Tufts is ranked either. Are they? I don't believe so.
I would doubt it.
Yeah, I haven't even looked at the National Volleyball
rankings. Amherst might be ranked, though.
We can check on that. Yeah, we're certainly rooting for Tufts Volleyball to come through and gain home court in the NESCAC tournament, which would mean we would be able to broadcast some of those games. Certainly the D3 tournament as well. Even if they make it, we're not sure if they would get that home court, but
we
would love to broadcast.
I love this team, and I love broadcasting this team, as many people know. Always hoping for the best. These D3 volleyball rankings are not making any sense to me right now.
It's Messiah number two.
The only NESCAC team that's even close is Bowdoin at 52 votes here.
I'm looking at the wrong year, that probably makes a lot of sense.
Are you on the regional rankings?
No, I'm in 2017.
Well, that's also not right.
Does anybody have 2018 up?
I do.
Trevor, take it away.
Yeah, so the number one school is Calvin.
We were just talking about Calvin.
There's a 70 next to that. I'm not sure what that...
That's probably
that
first place votes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And then so they're 15-0. They haven't lost. A lot of these teams only have one, two, a couple have four. Illinois Wesleyan has 5, but they must have had some sort of tough schedule because they're at 13 above, you know, Wisconsin Eau Claire, which is 18-2. And then Bowdoin has 52 votes, which is about over 100 shy of Johns Hopkins, which is number 25. So there's probably not going to be a NESCAC bid really, like non-NESCAC winning.
Large.
Does the NESCAC get a bid to the NCAA?
They have an automatic bid for the winner, but okay. You wouldn't expect necessarily anything more than that. But we'll have to wait and see.
Shout out to MIT at 21. I think that's one of the only East Coast schools, and we play that. The Tufts plays them next week.
Amherst is a West Coast school. They're all of them except for one were from California. So.
Oh my god. Johnson & Wales is an East Coast school. That's
they're pretty good. We're going to have to wrap up, though, I think, because we're just running out of time here.
Oh, yeah. 3:57. Oh,
wow. Yeah.
Goes by quick.
Time flies when you're talking volleyball.
That's right. So stay tuned for, can't remember what the show is called, but Chris's show coming right up. He's got some trainees, so that'll be fun.
Isn't it Radio Gringo?
I think so.
Oh, yeah, something like that. Chris, love your show. Can't remember the name. I know he's in the room next door. but we are... Hi. Chris just came in. But we are JumboCast. This is JumboCast Radio. We will be back in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll have Alec in studio so we can recap some crew action because it's Head of the Charles.
Yeah, I was talking to him. He wanted to definitely do Head of the Charles.
So. That's going to be in 2 weeks. Also in 2 weeks, we'll be broadcasting the next Tufts home football game. That's against Williams.
Great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no broadcast this weekend.
No, nope.
Should be a lot next weekend, though. Volleyball and football.
Yeah, volleyball and football. I think we got 2 games for volleyball, and 1 for football.
And you can track us down on social media. Just search JumboCast. We're the only ones.
Yep. JumboCast.com.
You know, at Tufts JumboCast for Twitter, find us on LinkedIn.
All right.
Also, I don't think we're on LinkedIn, but we're on Facebook, Twitter and Facebook. Look us up there.
All right.
I post weekly updates, so, please look at those.
Yeah, please look at Trevor's
It makes
work.
Me, helps my self-esteem, so.
So, I'm Owen Fingan for Charlie, Brad, Trevor, and Ethan. This has been JumboCast Radio, this is WMFO in Medford 91.5. So, thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Usted está en Cali, ay mire, vea, si las mujeres son lindas y hermosas, aquí no hay fea, para que vea, mi Cali se está adornando para su fiesta más popular, con caña dulce el melao, hierve en la paila, estamos